It was the one and only time in all of history that the Church of Jesus Christ was gathered together in one place at one time. The place was Jerusalem, and the time was Pentecost. There were Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and Libya. There were Romans and Cretans and Arabs, Jews and converts to Judaism, and they were gathered together by the thousands. And God showed up that day. God was there by his Holy Spirit, who came like a violent wind from heaven. The people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Their behavior was different. Some would say almost bizarre. There were those who said that they must be drunk because of what they said and the way they behaved. The preacher of the day was Peter, who stood up and with strong voice addressed the crowd. Here's what he said. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Now, we are never told what were the dreams they dreamed or the visions that they envisioned. And I can't help but wonder, did they dream of a day when this gospel then, for the first time being proclaimed, would be spread to every continent in the world? Could they have envisioned a time when the very word of God in written form would be translated into every human language? Could they have possibly thought that someday the number of people who would be called Christians would total more than 2 billion souls at the same time on earth? Perhaps. Perhaps that's what they dreamed, and perhaps that's what they envisioned, although probably not. I doubt that they could have foreseen that someday there would be a Western Hemisphere or a country named America or a church named Wooddale or any of the things that we are about or who we are. No, their dream, their vision was about God, and that God, in all of his greatness, would someday do spectacular things in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. But one of the main points of Peter's sermon is that Christians are dreamers. Christians are visionaries. That whether young or old, Christians are those people who look to the future with a sense of anticipation of what God is going to do. For dreams are most about the future. Visions are about what is not yet, but what could be. Now, there's an interesting saying that claims that old people talk most about the past and young people talk most about the future, and that's because all of us talk about what we have the most of. Now, I would disclaim that for Christians, because there have been too many times when I have listened far more than I have spoken. Listened as older Christians in the twilight of life have talked far more about the future than they have about the past. That there is something about being a Christian that even at the end of this life, there is anticipation, there is an assurance from God that the best is yet to come. Christians are dreamers, are visionaries about what God is going to do. And as dreamers and visionaries, it is with faith that we have a glimpse of God's future blessing, the prospect of what God has in store, the expression of faith that says that God is for tomorrow and that the tomorrow is always good because of God. Visions and dreams are the sounds and sights of the words in Ephesians 2, verses 20 and 21. about him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's no doubt about it that Christians are dreamers. Dreamers about the great things that God is going to do. Visionaries about the new and fresh ways in which God the Father will give glory to his Son through the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about a day in the dreams of Wooddale Church. It was now the better part of 2 decades ago. It was on a Sunday evening. It was in the building where Wooddale Church used to gather, in Richfield. And it was my responsibility and opportunity to give my I Have a Dream speech. Not as memorable as one other I Have a Dream speech, but memorable at least in part to me. And it was the dream of what would happen if and when Wooddale Church were to relocate to a new 32-acre campus in the city of Eden Prairie. So that night, I talked with my greatest faith and wildest imagination about evangelism, about expanded youth ministries, about the whole concept of raising up missionaries who would come from our own church families, about new effective programs and ministries for children and youth, about the prospect of giving significantly greater financial support to missions around the world. And I remember at the time scaring some people. There were people who came and said to me, they didn't use the word, but they communicated the concept, crazy. I mean, you're just crazy. You've sort of let this go too far. And after it was over, I thought that perhaps they were right, that what I said maybe had crossed the line, that the vision was too much, too far, too big, too extreme. To tell you the truth, I had pretty much forgotten about this until just a few weeks ago when a Wooddaler who was there reminded me of that I Have a Dream speech of almost 20 years back. And again, graciously, but communicating the concept, said, you really missed it, didn't you? you blew it. You really didn't dream big enough. You really didn't foresee what God was going to do. And he was right. He was right. I had never dreamed that there would be so many thousands of people whose lives would be impacted by Wooddale Church. It never occurred to me that Wooddale Church would, on an every other year cycle, start significant new churches around the metropolitan area that would eventually total more in the numbers of people together than Wooddale Church, the mother church, would. I honestly didn't have the faith to anticipate that the people of Wooddale Church would give more than $1 million a year to missions outside of our own programs and ministries, missions around the world. I did not know, I didn't ever think, that Wooddale Church would attract such a diverse congregation of people. People from no religious backgrounds and a variety of religious backgrounds. People who would come from different ethnicities and speak different languages. I never considered the possibility that we would one day have a daily radio ministry. I never thought of a full-time prayer ministry. I didn't anticipate a bookstore or a web page because I had never heard of a web page. None of that was in the vision. I didn't think at the time that someday there would be a Saturday evening service or imagine that Wooddale Church would have the largest preschool in the state of Minnesota or the largest MOPS ministry in the United States or a whole list of things that never crossed my mind. Blessings from God that I don't think anyone at the time could foresee. And it demonstrates one more time that the Bible was right, that the Church of Jesus Christ is led by him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And so Now we are turning the page to another chapter of the history of the fellowship to which we all belong. We stand on the eve of the third millennium, and it's time to dream again. And I'm kind of afraid to do it. Failure in past dreams seems to preclude any new dreams, because I know from the starting point that we can't dream far enough, that the best of our dreams cannot imagine anything great enough, that God's yesterday blessings will be eclipsed by his blessings for tomorrow. I can think about it. I can try to dream. I try to dream of thousands of more people that we, the people of Wooddale Church, could reach for Jesus Christ. Or I dream of starting more churches in the metropolitan area, but perhaps being the catalyst for other churches outside of the metropolitan area, or dreaming of children's and family and youth ministries that would be such a magnet that people in some of their most significant needs would come our way simply because of these ministries. We're dreaming of more opportunities to learn the Bible and to discover God through a whole array of classes and seminars, of seminary courses offered on the Wooddale Church campus, or online classes, or a whole array of other opportunities. Of being a church of the entire range that at the same time will welcome those who are seekers, people who aren't even sure there is a God, or who think that God may have revealed himself through some other religion, all the way to veteran Christians who otherwise would have thought that they had heard it all, but in Wooddale Church can find another opportunity, a greater one, to learn and to grow like Jesus Christ. A dream of financial stewardship that would go far beyond reaching the needs of the programs and the ministries and the things that we do within the context of our congregation, and would be a far greater blessing to others. Helping those who are poor and blessing the needy, and reaching the lost and benefiting other churches. And the dreams go on. But I better stop, because the dreams have been so short-sighted in the past. I think that it may be better, at least for a moment, to say that we dream of the future, not so much in terms of specifics, but in terms of the track record of the blessings that God has already given to us. And so we may anticipate tomorrow on the basis of the faithfulness and blessing of God in the past. And of that I am sure. That Wooddale Church, already a large church, grew at 7.6% rate last year, even though we have largely maximized our facilities. As a church family, we undertook building programs in 1984, moving to the campus in Eden Prairie. In 1985, a major addition. In 1987, an interesting building program that was with modular classrooms that were a bridge to the 1990 construction of the worship center, and then those classrooms, by requirement of the city of Eden Prairie, were later moved away. Or in 1991, the finishing of the lower level, or in 1996, the building of the Hillside Room and that extension to the building for youth ministry. Or in 1998, the addition of 400-plus more parking places and audio-video equipment as well. But knowing that every time the people of Wooddale Church have expanded the container, that God has filled up that container. But it's so important to say that it's not because of our programs, it's not because of the preaching or the music, it's not because of the Sunday school, that it's about God. That God has blessed us. And that now, once again, it is time to make more room for God's work. Vision 21 is about a new building and a new chapter. And the new chapter is more important than the building. A new chapter in the blessing of God. That we are anticipating building a building of 35, 36,000 square feet. It will be a significant addition with a state-of-the-art nursery, much larger than what we now have for young children. Large new adult classrooms, a chapel, a prayer room, a parent-child room. It'll have a new elevator, a large new bookstore, a significantly expanded church square for the Wooddale Cafe and other gatherings, a remodeling of our present building to turn the present nursery area into children's classrooms, to take the present bookstore and make it into an adult classroom, to expand the kitchen, and much more. And that the impact of those container changes will ricochet through the life of the church and into the community in significant quantitative and qualitative ways as we anticipate what God is next going to do. But it is such a dangerous thing because there is the high risk that the main point could be missed, and that the main point is not about building or program or money, that it is about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you again a story that you've heard me tell before. It is one of my favorites. It is about Leonardo da Vinci and his famous painting of the Last Supper. It is, to me, such a memorable story that Charlene and our son Jeff and I, while traveling in Europe, went the distance to Milan to see this painting that is on the refectory, the dining room wall of a very old monastery. It is, and I'm sure you are familiar with it, Leonardo's depiction of the Last Supper, the first Christian communion. The story goes that when he had virtually finished his masterpiece and was preparing for its public unveiling, that he gave a preview to one of his best friends to see what he thought of it. And that his friend, the first other than the artist to see this huge mural, looked at it and for a long time said nothing. And then he said, "It's magnificent. It's spectacular. It is dazzling. It is breathtaking. I can hardly keep my eyes off of the cup." And he referred to the silver chalice at the Last Supper that was the centerpiece and held in Jesus' hand. That when he said this, the old story goes, that Leonardo took up his palette of paints and brushes and immediately went and painted out the chalice. So if you were to see the Last Supper today, there is no cup in the picture. He painted it out, and as he did so, he repeatedly said, the Christ, not the cup, the Christ." Please understand that when we talk about the ministry of Wooddale Church, when we talk about the church or building or program, it is never intended to draw attention to itself. That the center of our lives and the center of Wooddale Church must be the Christ, not the building, not the staff, not the people up front, not even any of us, not the cup, but the Christ, the Christ. That Wooddale Church is because of Jesus Christ. Wooddale Church is for Jesus Christ. Wooddale Church belongs to Jesus Christ. The church exists for Jesus Christ. Let us never forget that. The Christ, not the cup. The Christ, the Christ. And so it is for Jesus Christ that we look to the future, and it is for Jesus Christ that we build a bigger container, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ that I invite you to dream dreams. Call it Vision 21 or call it anything else. It is dreams of what we can do for the one who gave himself for us. What does this practically mean on the eve of this new chapter in the history of this church? As part of the Wooddale Church family, I invite you to commit, to pray, to give, to commit to God and what He is going to do through Wooddale Church, that your personal commitment is important, that you give your heart to what God is doing and what God will do through His church. It is to directly say, don't be an outsider. Don't be on the fringe. Don't be a spectator, an observer that says, this is about somebody else. This is what they are doing. Change from the they to the we to the I. Make the Lord's work through the church your work. Commitment is believing, it's dreaming, it's envisioning, it's hoping, it's owning, it's becoming, it's belonging. Commit. And pray. Pray for God's blessing on Wooddale Church. Pray for His direction. Pray for wisdom that what we do will truly center on Jesus Christ, because it's risky business to take adventures for which we might be tempted to take the credit. Pray for the people of Wooddale Church to be people who are fully committed to Jesus Christ as his disciples. Pray for Wooddale Church to reach more and more people who are unchurched, who are underchurched, who are unbelievers. Pray, you know, it's so delightful to know that 1,000 people in this specific ministry, and I know that there are many, many Wooddalers beyond that 1,000 who faithfully pray for Christ's work at Wooddale Church. But somehow it seems that no matter how much we pray, no matter how many, it's not enough. It needs to be us all, that we all pray that the purpose be fulfilled, that we truly do honor God by making more disciples for Jesus Christ. And so I invite you to commit, to pray, and to give. To give in order to turn Vision 21 into a reality. We are attempting something that eclipses anything as a church we have ever attempted financially before. $6.5 million is a lot of money. It is a stretch, and it will take significant and sacrificial giving by all of the Wooddale Church family. And that is why you are asked to be a partner, to share in all of this. But I'd also say, don't let a pastor or a brochure or a video that you can't see convince you on what to give. You know, it's one of those things that is such a tangible expression of our faith, our involvement, our caring. I encourage you to pray and ask God what to do. God may say, do nothing, and that's the right answer of what to do. Or God may say, check it out, make a significant decision, and make this part of your own entering into a new chapter of your own faith. So whether the amount is very small or very large, be a partner in Vision 21. If you can't give, return that commitment card and write that on there. Say, you know, I'm not able to do anything financially, but you know, I'm supportive and I'm praying and you can count on me. For most of us, it is saying, seize the opportunity, be a part of what God is doing together for us, but most of all for the reputation of his Son through Jesus Christ. It is an invitation to commit, to pray, to give. In the city of London, a teenage prodigy gave a piano concert, his first large public recital, in a recital hall that seated a large number of people. And many of those that were there said he was brilliant, he was magnificent. In fact, at the end of his recital, there was wild applause, a standing ovation. During that standing ovation, he slipped off the stage and went to the back. And the people kept on clapping. It was the stage manager who said to this teenager, you've got to get back out there for an encore. They want you back. He said, I'm not going back out there. He said, you've got to. Everyone is standing and applauding for you. He said, no. There's a white-haired man in the balcony who's seated. And so the stage manager went and peeked through the curtain and looked at this large, packed-out audience. And sure enough, there was one white-haired man seated while everyone else was standing and clapping. So he went back to this young pianist and said, okay, there's one. One guy, what difference does that make? Get on back out there. It doesn't matter. The young pianist said, he's my teacher. After one of the most masterful sermons ever preached, the crowd in Jerusalem turned against a young preacher named Stephen. They picked up rocks in order to stone him to death. The story is told in Acts 7 that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Doesn't the Bible usually say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father? Look, he said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Someday, may Jesus Christ stand for you. Someday, may Jesus Christ stand for Wooddale Church. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.